It will go along with the message. If you missed Sunday school, you missed a wonderful lesson, as always. Praise the Lord. Amen. Please open in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 1. Are the children going to join us this morning? It's fine with me, whatever. Audrey told me about this, and I totally forgot it. Brother Jim said, would you like me to announce them, or you? And I said, announce what? He said, the kids are. I said, oh, my goodness. But thank you very much. And I want you to take a good look at them, because my whole message is about our young kids today. And may God move upon our hearts to be mindful of that and to pray wisely. In 1 Kings, there, I believe, is the story of David. He's up in age and he's getting ready to die. He's ruled the kingdom for 40 years with an iron rod. And he's getting ready to go off the scene. And the story tells us of two others that were competing to take his place. And the third one, which was God's will, was Solomon. But they did three things to try to keep what they had, and we'll see that as we get into this. Often, sometimes a physical event can be a sign that is prophetic in nature, and something that you don't expect, but something will happen in an event. Sometimes God will let you know, and sometimes hindsight lets you know that what just happened was a shadow of things to come, or a prophecy. For instance, we know in the Old Testament, we talk about the different things that took place. The New Testament says it was a shadow of things to come. Little events would happen that were prophetic in nature, that a Savior is coming. And Jesus did come. But those events that happened back then were prophecies in one sense of the word. I remember probably the last year that I was pastoring in White Salmon, John Wimber, who was a wonderful man of God, was going to speak up in Canada. Now, we lived on the border of Washington, and across the river was Oregon. And the conference was going to be in Canada. And John Wimber, at the time, we knew had cancer. And everyone was trusting God to heal him, but how many know sometimes it doesn't happen? Doesn't mean lack of faith, doesn't mean this or that, and people get hard-nosed in the theology, but even though he was trusting God, but he went to be with the Lord. And he is at this conference to speak, and people knew that time was drawing close. Maybe almost like Elijah, they were aware that Elijah soon was going to go, and even the school that he had started up said, don't you know that Elijah's going to be taken? And before Elijah left, we know that Elijah transferred, if I could use that word for lack of a better one, his ministry onto Elisha. And Elisha received some of that type of a ministry, although he had his own, it was passed on in a large measure. We know that when Paul laid hands on Timothy, I believe some of the ministry of Paul transferred to Timothy. You often find that. You can find in an organization the leader and many under him are often kind of a representative of him. It has a way of that anointing flowing down. Now, we're going to see this in this story because it is there as well. But as we were going to go to this conference, we traveled down 84 and then headed north. I'd never been on this road before. I took a man in my church by the name of Bill Smith and another minister friend, Gary. And the three of us were driving, and the Columbia River, I don't remember what river, the Snake River, I believe, drops into the Columbia River, and now we're following, if I recall rightly, the Snake River. And on the left is this river about, I don't know, 200-300 yards across, and this road that is running alongside of it. And we're heading to go to Canada. We're talking and we're excited about this conference and trusting that the Lord will be wonderful. And there was probably a good 800 to 1,000 people that showed up. And we knew it was a big thing and we had great expectations. And as we were talking about the things of God, and one thing led to another, right as we were driving, and I wasn't the one driving, I'm sitting on the shotgun front right seat, when they're talking, the Lord gave me a vision, just bang, like that. Wasn't praying, I wasn't, even though I was mindful of the Lord, and I see this pipe, and this long pipe is about 30 yards long, it looked like this big around, and water was shooting out of it, and it came out at the size of the pipe, and then after maybe 20, 30 yards, the water spread out. And I see that, and I know it's from the Lord, and I'm not totally understanding of it, but I said, guys, I said, God just gave me a vision. I just saw something from the Lord. And they said, well, what did you see? So I told them. I told them of this pipe, and I said it looked like about 20, 30 yards long, and I saw water shooting out of it. And I said, well, what do you think it means? Is this God getting ready to pour out his blessing on us in the conference? And I said, well, I hope so. We drove maybe another mile or two, never been on the road. And sure enough, across the river is a pipe coming out of the ground above the water, about 20 or 30 yards. And this big force of water shooting out of it, exactly as the vision, when Bill says, and Gary said, looky over there it is. And we, well, yeah, there it is. And we took that as a sign that God was getting ready to pour out his blessing, that was prophetic in nature. How many know on the day of Pentecost he says that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh? Now, I say that as an illustration of what we're going to read. To me, now some might think you're reading too much into the Word of God. If you'll follow me, I believe we can see something here. Because King David is getting ready to die. He's up in age. He is, when we take a look at the nation of Israel, they have entered into the, I'm going to go back from David a little bit to build up a little bit of understanding of the kingdom, because it was a physical kingdom. But when the nation of Israel had finally entered Canaan land, after, remember, Moses delivers the people and they're in the promised land. But Israel now is, after they are there, they're scattered, and there was a time they're ruled by judges. And these judges made the decisions for the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. In fact, one of the reasons that perhaps the people wanted a king was because the judge that was ruling at the time was Samuel, the prophet. And Samuel had two sons that didn't know the Lord. And they were judging, but they were judging not according to the way Samson did. And they were taking bribes. And this judge, he would simply hear this dispute of two, and he would decide which one was wrong, what compensation was to be made. Well, they were, how many know we still see it through the ages, a judge could be crooked and take bribes. Well, these two sons were taking bribes. Now, we don't know that he was going to appoint them to take his place, but the people no doubt were uncomfortable with these two sons of Samuel. And there were other motives, I'm sure, that came into play. But they came to Samuel one day and they said, "We want a king like the other nations." And Samuel, he kind of took it personal and said, "Well, haven't I been doing a good job? Have I ever done anything? Have I taken a bribe? Have I ever done anything?" And they said, no. And so Samuel, he goes to God, and God had to minister to Samuel and say, "Now, Samuel, don't, careful now." He said, "It's not you that they're rejecting, it's me." So he said, "You tell them they can have a king, and we'll pick them out." And we find that that first king was Saul. So Saul comes on the scene, and his ministry was to take the various tribes and weld them together into one. And he did that. He did a good job of taking the different tribes and welding them into one, as there was much division at the time. Now, after Saul, we know, came King David, the shepherd boy. And now David, for the next 40 years, he had a different call and a different purpose for his ministry. He's king now, and he takes the united people, although the two kingdoms came together pretty soon after 7 years David had been king, but he takes these united people, and he brings them back to the Word of God, and David now goes out and conquers the surrounding nations, and he established Israel as a mighty power in the earth. Is now well disciplined, and it's very formidable and abroad. And so now David is getting ready to go off the scene. And we know that Solomon has been the one that God has chosen to be the next king. And this is where we're going to pick up in the story. But as David is, he's up in age, and the Bible says that the elders didn't want to see David go. And they're trying to get out of him as much as possible. And they wanted to keep this nice, wonderful king they had. And in spite of all of his sins and things he had done, they still had this respect and honor for King David. But now, at the end of David's reign, we find the kingdom began to suffer. Discipline began to wane or decrease, and divisions began to appear among the people. There was dissatisfaction, and rebellion began to appear. We remember that Absalom almost took the kingdom, but now David, he wins that battle, and now David, he's beginning to lose a grip on the nation of Israel. And because of these problems, the elders decided that, and they meant well, that they need to step in if the nation was to be saved. So the first thing they tried to do, and you can read the story, for sake of time, I'm going to let it go, but the Bible said they sought out a young virgin. Now they were sincere in this, but they felt they could take David in his up in age, and they took this young virgin. They sought out the most beautiful girl they could find, and they brought her and laid her next to David, hoping it'd stir up some passion. and circulation, his mental alertness would come alive, and they'd get the old young David back again, but it didn't work, and that failed. There's a lesson there. And then the second thing that was put on the table to try to keep the kingdom going was one of David's other sons by the name of Adonijah. That Adonijah was a self-appointed man himself. He wanted to be king. He didn't want Solomon to have that job. He wanted it. So the Bible says that in 1 Kings, he gathers some people around him to, while David's off there in the palace and losing his alertness and other things that he had, he thought he'd do something real quick because the nation knew something going to happen and David's not going to be with us long, and he figured, I better step in and claim that position before something else could happen. So Adonijah, you read in chapter 1, it says that in verse 5, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, Why have you done this? And he also was a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. We remember Absalom. Absalom was that, you know, the long hair, and weighed his hair every year, and it was his long hair that got him into trouble. He was the first hippie in the Old Testament, but his hair got stuck in that oak tree, and along came that fighter of David and threw those darts and hit Absalom, and he died. Well, Absalom's dead, and so here's this goodly Adonijah. And in verse 7 it says, and he conferred with Joab. He never really was David's best loyal man. And the son of Zariah, and with Abiathar the priest. And they, following Adonijah, helped him. They're going to join in. We're going to put you in. But Zadok the priest, and this is what is very enlightening, because I believe this story is prophetic of what happened to the kingdom when Jesus came. Because in verse 8 it says, and Zadok the priest, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Bei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. They were not invited. They were not going to be there as his kingdom is launched, and would have been launched had not Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet went to David and said, David, do you know that behind the scenes that someone's getting ready to, a coup's going on, or they're getting ready to establish and make him king? And you have said all along that it's supposed to be Solomon. And David said, you're right. And so what I want you to see in Scripture is three times. Whenever a name is repeated twice or three times, we should pay a little more attention. And whenever a thought in Scripture is repeated three or four times, we should pay more attention to that thought that is being repeated. I want you to see that about three times we find that it stresses that Adonijah wouldn't call the certain ministries. He knew they weren't going to put their blessing on it. But each one of these ones that he ignored and wasn't going to bring to the table is a type of ministries today that are continuing, that I don't believe that but I want you to see what they all represented. Three times. The first one is in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 10. It says, but Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother, he called not. Now each one of these represents a ministry. And each one of these men that he would not bring to the table is what we see going on today and has gone on ever since the kingdom transferred. How many know when Jesus came, he came preaching the kingdom? But the kingdom, the Bible says the kingdom became stronger under Solomon than it was David. It became greater. And in the same way, when Jesus, how many remember when he said, and here's the kingdom that began, it, John the Baptist, as he preached, the kingdom of God's at hand, and there Jesus is baptized, and the kingdom begins in the spiritual sense, and Jesus sent his disciples out preaching the kingdom, but the kingdom is about to increase and become greater. And how was that going to happen? You remember when Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if he comes, that he will give you what? He'll give you power. Power. So we know that when Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit. He said, don't go preach, don't go do nothing until you get the Holy Ghost. Now, they go to Pentecost, and the Spirit is poured out. As Pentecostal people, we know this well. And it came to pass that, behold, saith the Lord God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your men shall dream dreams, etc. And we know that the kingdom, even Jesus said to his disciples, that greater things than what I've done will you do. And that's another Bible study in itself. But it's going to get stronger. And the kingdom became stronger when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Can I have an amen? You'll get me preaching yet. So here the Holy Ghost, the kingdom increased. I want you to see the kingdom also, as it said, because Solomon is king, that the nation of Israel and that kingdom became stronger under Solomon. That was the peak of their strength. It was the Queen of Sheba that came from afar, that when she saw this kingdom and all of the wisdom that Solomon had, it said that she almost passed out and said, oh, the half was not told. It was during the reign of Solomon that was the height of their power for the glory of Israel. But notice what is fighting and in competition for Solomon, who was the one to be king and was king, but there was Adonijah who is competing and who wanted to have the kingdom himself. And had not God intervened like he always does, and Jesus says, my church, it will prevail, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and he's still building his church, and he's building it with Holy Ghost-filled people, and he's building it with people preaching the Word of God. But here's what I want you to see, that my heart has been touched and stirred, and I hope to pass this on to you, that your heart, not that it hasn't been stirred in this area, but it will continue to be stirred in this area. What was the remedy and the solution for David, who was getting older? Now, I got to say this very carefully. Folks, we're getting older. We're getting older. And when I came here 8 years ago, I looked out and I saw a lot of us older folk. We didn't have one young kid. Not one. We might have someone visit and bring their grandkid, but we didn't have any. And I remember saying, we got to get some young people. And we had a carnival. And it was to launch and to just, it helped, it was good for us. And I began to pray, and not just me, you all did. Lord, we got to have some kids. Because we're going to die off like David. And we've got to pass the baton on. And I know that God said, I'll build my church, but he uses us. And we've got to cooperate with him. And what was the answer? And the answer that was then is still the answer today. David said, first of all, we need to realize you can't revive the old man. Pentecost was great here 40, 50 years ago. People, we can't revive what happened back then for today. Now, follow me when I say this. I still believe in the power of God and the Holy Spirit and all of the gifts of the Spirit and this and that. But there was a certain way that it happened back then. And oftentimes people, if we're not careful and we lack wisdom, we may mean well. We try to revive the old man and we try to get Pentecost and what happened back then to happen today. It may not happen that way. It may be, you know, you're not going to get Pentecost by getting your hair up in a bun. You're not going to get Pentecost by having a line on your nylons going back. Woo, that's amen. You're not going to get Pentecost by getting a tent and throwing sawdust down on the ground. And I still believe in that. But sometimes we think we can revive the old man and stave off his senility and things like that by trying to bring back those things were a result of the power of God that came out. They didn't bring the power of God. But sometimes people think if we do what they did, we'll have what they had. No, it don't work that way. It works like it's always worked. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. So, we're not going to try to revive the old. I love the old. But it's not the old that's going to bring in the new. And I believe in contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Second thing that was offered that I believe was very prophetic, and we see it throughout the beginning of the kingdom advanced on the day of Pentecost, is Adonijah. And it's who he wouldn't bring to the table that we see happening again. Who would he not bring to the table for his inauguration? You can divide it into three categories that are each one of them you find at Pentecost. He wouldn't bring that Benaniah. And you know why I love preaching you people, because you people know your Bible. Benaniah was the fellow that was a mighty man of David. He stood for power. And how many know that the new kind of Christianity we see, they're a little bit leery of the power of God? Someone came to me today and they said, Pastor, there's this gentleman we'd like you to see because he remembers this church years ago when the power of God fell and Bob Garner danced and carried on like a wild Indian from another land. And said, saw him, and we had people fall under the power of God. And this, can that happen again? Yes, it can happen again. And God is still doing those things. But he didn't want old Benaniah to come. He was a mighty man for David. The second one he didn't want to come to the party is what we also see today, is he didn't want Nathan the prophet. How many remember who Nathan was? Nathan was a prophet that dared to say to David, thou art the man. And by revelation and by the Spirit of God, and there is a movement today that is uncomfortable with the power of God and is uncomfortable with the prophetic ministry that Jesus said would happen, because it says in Ephesians, he gave unto the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And where you have apostles, you have people that are sent. And where you have prophets, you have prophecies in the supernatural, seeing in the future what God will do, and he does it. But there is a movement today that is uncomfortable with the prophetic, and I am here to say that is not how the kingdom is going to be advanced. It's got to be the whole gospel, the full gospel, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. God never did anything without the Holy Ghost, and he still doesn't do anything without the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. If we've ever needed it, we need it now. And so what does he say? And then the third one was Zadok the priest, and that's another sermon in itself with the anointing. Here's what David said. Nah, I don't need that kind of. Don't need that. Here's what we need to do. We need to do what God said. And that was Solomon. And take Solomon, this young man, and put him upon my mule. And that mule was white, and it stood for royalty, and it stood for authority. And put him in a position. and put him on that mule, and you get Nathan the prophet, and you get Benaniah and his mighty man, and you get Zadok the priest, and let the people around him gather, and let him go down through the middle of town. And he said the people will gather, and it's exactly what they did. The Bible said the people gathered around him, and the earth shook once again with the praises of God, and the kingdom continued and became stronger because of Solomon. What do we learn from that? We learned that we've got to see our young people saved and filled and with the Holy Ghost on them. So I can't do that. I know, but we can pray. And God will honor us. And that is my message. And I think God, I'll blame God on this one. That's why I forgot about these young people coming in. Pastor, you don't need God to do that. You forget that all on your own. That'd be true. But when I first came, I thought, we got no kids. So I remember Donnie and Audrey went to work, and they gave us some kids, and other little kids we see coming in. And I see you guys light up when your grandkids come in. You guys, you could pop your buttons on your lapel when your little grandchildren come in, and rightfully so. But I am calling our attention this day. People, we need to pray for our youth. And we need to do everything we can within our power. Do you know, is it a sad indictment against this day, this generation in which we live? We are living in the most ignorant when it comes to knowing the Scriptures. Never before has there ever been a society and a culture such as ours since the founding of our country that are ignorant of the Bible. Oh, I appreciate these people that are back there, whether it be Joe and Jonathan and his wife Priscilla and Audrey and Donnie. And I don't want to leave anybody out, else I offend them. And don't get offended because I leave you out. Just blame it on my brain that don't remember half the things that ought to be. But these people that are doing that, pray that God anoint them. Pray that God raise them up. Pray that God give them a message. And one of the reasons why children are illiterate is back years ago, we used to have a thing called Sunday school, where they came and they learned Sunday school, and then they had their worship. But we've seen parents not bring their kids to Sunday school. Oh, Pastor, you could have gone all day without that. Folks, we've got to get our kids to know God. I'm not trying to revive the old man. But I am saying, if we're not going to do it through Sunday school, then we need to get it done one way or another. And may God help everyone that has children and grandchildren to make it a high calling in your life, that God is drawing our attention today for our kids. Because as we pass on this baton, and it won't be long, one of these days I'll be gone. Don't you shout hallelujah. One of these days you'll be gone. Who is going to pick it up? I'll tell you who, the Solomons that are called of God, and that we can put our, and they need to have, this is what they got to have to go with them. They've got to have the prophetic. They've got to have the power. And they've got to have the proper line of apostle, pastor, evangelist, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Fivefold, some say four, five, four, six. Quit arguing and missing the point. These ministries, under a day in which we live when people do not like authority, but we are a people under authority. We are a people that he says, I command you that you love one another. We don't like to be commanded, but you need to know that as a people of God, you are under authority. And we're under the greatest authority that ever was. And his name is Jesus. And all power has been given unto him in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. So these young people, my message is that what God has stirred in me, oh God, and I know this isn't new, but I want to bring all of our collective thinking together. Sometimes when all of the light from the magnifying glass focuses on one spot, something can happen. And I'm trying to get us collectively together to focus our attention on these kids. And how many think that'd be a good thing? Amen. And may we set our hearts in that direction. May you get behind everything we ever do for our kids. I'm praying that God will help us find a... He'll use us. But let's not deny the ministries that are out there. I'm praying God will bring us in a child evangelist. I'm praying God continue to raise up leaders for our young people. You say they're young. That's the best time to reach them. And oh, boy. That's my message. Let's stand. Now David, he prayed for Solomon. He went to him. He said, Solomon, you're going to be king. And here's what I'm going to pray that God help you to have. A pure heart and a willing mind. Remember that? And may we focus our attention as we focus our energies. Pardon me. Grieves when I always miss the kids. I know there's anointing out there, but there's a different kind of anointing in here. And some of these times I think it'd be good to get them in here just for that. I don't mean all the time, but I believe that they need to be exposed to the anointing and the power of God. And so we can get up and lay hands on them. You see, I believe in things, for lack of a better word, pass on. It passed on from Elijah to Elisha. It passed on from Paul to Timothy. In fact, he said, Timothy, you know why I know you got some goods? Because I know it transferred from your grandma and your mother. And I know because of that it's in you. And I love what I see out there. I love what I see out there in the depth of you people. And I know that that's being passed on to these kids. And I'm just sharing my heart with you today. That let's unite. If you ask anything in my name, I believe that's in His name. I believe it's biblical. And I believe He'll hear us. I believe we're praying in the will of God. And would you come and let's just stand and unite our hearts together this morning. If you can, go ahead. But I want us to unite and agree on this one thing. God, help us with our young people. Children, whether it be teenager destiny, the Bible says that when Solomon was anointed, the crowds gathered. We don't need to worry about the crowds. We just need to worry about getting our young people anointed. We always try to get the cart before the horse. Oh God, touch our kids. Touch our kids. Raise them up. Call them. Lay your hand on them. Let them experience the supernatural. Oh God, I know we can't do it. You do it, but we can sure believe you for it. And so may you, as Jesus, he gave his disciples authority and here, go with it. May we take it. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, let's lift up our hearts and hands and focus our prayers on our kids and our grandkids and great-grandkids. Oh, mighty God, one day we'll be gone if Jesus tarries. And I do pray in the mighty name of Jesus that, God, you help us reach our youth, our kids, our grandkids. Help us to get behind everything that the church is doing to try to reach them. May you anoint those people that are, Lord, teaching them even at this moment. May the Holy Ghost come and open up their mind. And may you visit our kids. May you do what we can't do, but we can pray and we can believe you, and Lord, you'll bring it about. Oh God, give them visions, give them dreams, raise up apostles, raise up prophets, raise up evangelists, raise up pastors, raise up teachers, raise up, oh God, and we'll put them in position. We'll put them upon the white mule of authority and royalty, and we'll acknowledge them. And God, anoint them as you anointed Solomon and visited Solomon in his sleep. Oh God, you build your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, every one of us has got kids and grandkids and people we know. May you birth that in our heart, that we pray it through to its completion. In the mighty name of Jesus, I want you to begin to speak the name of that young person and grandkid or child that you have on your heart, and just, you go ahead and express that to God right now. Would you do that? Just express their name and call upon the Lord. Oh God, touch, Lord, touch Amy, oh God. Touch Joshua, oh God. Oh God, I pray, Lord Jesus, touch Alex. Oh God, touch Alex. Lord, every one of our young people, you started with 12, Jesus, and you won the whole world and shook the world with 12. God, you can do anything, and we believe you to do the miraculous. Minister to them, oh Jesus. Blessed be your name. Please find a place to pray, and let's continue to pray this through. Would you please? And call upon God for your loved ones and your kids and grandkids. But God, raise them up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raise up musicians. Raise up musicians. Raise up music leaders. Raise them up, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. Lay your hand on them, God. Use them mightily. Thank you, Jesus.